Friedrich Nietzsche famously wrote, "God is dead. We killed him." This is Dr. Jim Tonkwich, Director of Distance Learning at Wyoming Catholic College, and your host for the After Dinner Scholar. Elsewhere, Nietzsche wrote, "What is good? The Antichrist. Whatever augments the feeling of power, the will to power, the power itself in man. What is evil? Whatever springs from weakness. What is happiness? The feeling that power increases, that resistance is overcome." Close quote. Perhaps not a bad code of ethics for working out in the gym, but frightening and dangerous in the rest of life. Thus, it seems curious that Sean Steele, a member of the educational faculty at the University of Calgary, should use Nietzschean categories to propose a rather congenial understanding of the good education. The Wyoming Catholic College faculty read and discussed Steele's article, "Schooling for Deep Knowing," during a recent symposium. Our academic dean, Dr. Thaddeus Kaczynski, led our discussion, and Dr. Kaczynski is our guest on this week's After Dinner Scholar. Dr. Kaczynski, what about Sean Steele's article and its dependence on Nietzsche convinced you to use the article for a faculty symposium?
It's brilliant. He's a great educational theorist, and he is articulating the mission of WCC and the intuitions that we all have here about how properly to educate in this day and age within the Catholic intellectual tradition and liturgy and using poetics and outdoor experience. When you put all that together, it will be a strange thing to call it Dionysian. But when I read the article and I read another essay by him as well, I'm thinking that he's really nailed the idea of what we're doing, but just giving it a kind of historical and philosophical interpretation that at first glance doesn't seem quite right, but actually is. And I think it really sheds a lot of light on what we're doing here at WCC.
Well, okay, let's start there. Steele draws on categories from Nietzsche's The Birth of Tragedy. Could you tell us about the concepts and what they mean and how they relate to education?
Yeah, he speaks of the Dionysian, the Apollonian. And of course, these are the gods, Greek gods, Apollo representing referencing and being a kind of personification of art and music. You might even say civilization, culture. The Dionysian being those aspects of life, human existence, and culture that are more underground, the ecstatic, the bacchanalian, the desire to lose one's ego or self, dissolving it into some kind of blissful oneness with everything. So these two components of existence are meant to be in interplay with each other. And I think that's how the Greeks saw the role of Apollo and Dionysus. Dionysus is also the god who is cut to pieces by the other gods, but then resurrected. He's always around where there's festivity and celebration. But he has his dark side in plays such as the Bacchae. His dark side comes out when he is ignored or not taken seriously or repressed, attacked. We try to get rid of the Dionysian element of our lives because it's messy, it's dangerous, it bespeaks mystery and things we can't control, the wild side of life. But if we try to tame it and excise it from our lives, it comes back. It must come back because it's an ineradicable element of our condition. And the Apollonian without the Dionysian can tend towards what Steele calls this optimistic rationalism. He calls it the anti-Dionysian, and he has some great things to say about how our education today, modern education, is anti-Dionysian and all the problems that that's causing us.
Well, yeah, in fact, he writes, "Anti-Dionysian forces prefer a false knowledge of self, identifying all knowledge with appearances rather than with underlying Dionysian reality. They are furthermore distinguished by their desire for mastery over the phenomenal and the fluctuating, and by the supposition that such knowledge alone makes men virtuous." Can you unpack that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. Well, again, you know, when we hear things like mastery and flourishing of the self and gaining skills and knowledge for success, these are not things that Wyoming Catholic College are against. But again, he's talking about these things taken as the only goal in life, as the only thing there is to work for and cultivate in both oneself and society. But what's missing there, he calls that the anoresis in Greek, the going up, the ascending. But there's the descending, the katabasis, the going down. And the going down is not into immorality or irrationality or barbarism. It's going down to catch a glimpse of the ground of being beneath us, within us, the mysterious existence itself, which holds us and which we can never plumb its depths. You might call this the mystical, the existential. That has been eradicated from education. The Greeks knew very well the need to cultivate this aspect of our souls, of existence, through tragedies, through cathartic purging that would happen at these tragic beholding of the tragic suffering of an Oedipus or an Agamemnon or an Achilles. We tend to take that away from education completely, and it comes back. And he makes a good point that it comes back in ways that are not synthesized well with other elements of our existence. Students, he says, seek joy, and they seek intense, passionate, ecstatic experiences. The classroom with the droning lecturer on gaining skills for success in the global marketplace doesn't exactly live up to those desires. In fact, it quashes them. And students are left, you know, yearning for this other very important aspect of existence. We find as Catholics, this is found in worship of God, in the cultic celebration of the Eucharist, of festivity and dance and joyful affirmation of reality, as Joseph Pieper would say, in leisurely activity. But that's nowhere to be found. And if it is found, it's sometimes one sees it in a more debauched kind of activity and just killing time in fruitless activities. Or one finds it, Steele says, in extreme sports, in drinking, drugs, promiscuity, video games, you know, mindless surfing of the internet. And of course, these are terrible symptoms of something really wrong in our education and culture.
Let's get back to the whole question of rationalistic optimism. I mean, that sounds like a very good thing, but Steele says it's a great danger. What does it mean, and why is it a danger?
Again, nothing wrong with optimism, nothing wrong with being rational. You put those two together, what Steele's getting at is the kind of enlightenment myth. Once we rid our consciousness of ancient medieval superstition, priestcraft, enchanted things, magic, superstition, all these things, and once we recognize the power of the human mind, the human will to govern ourselves, to attain to human rights and medicine and all these great things that modern culture gives us, the power of technology to dominate and tame a wild nature so that it conforms to our ends, then we have achieved the humanistic goal of life, comfortable self-preservation in a society of democracy and human rights, with no more threats of the barbarism coming back, of religious-inspired wars and fanaticism and all that. That's quite optimistic. It doesn't seem to recognize original sin, of course, but it also doesn't recognize that we do not have the capacity to fully grasp, understand, and control existence. And we never will. And that's a good thing. You know, we're creatures of an unfathomable God, and life is a gift to be received, and it's a wayfaring state. There's mysteries in life, in every human soul, and the rationalistic optimism simply relegates all this kind of poetic and romantic thinking to the benighted past. And that's, for Steele, not a good thing at all. You know, we know that there's something ominous when we have all the science fiction anti-utopian films and novels depicting technology taking over and us losing control over it completely. Movies like The Terminator and The Matrix. It's the nightmarish scenario that we know we're kind of causing because we're too Apollonian. We're anti-Dionysian.
Elsewhere in the article, Steele says, students find themselves in a terrible place of suffering because they are existentially cut off from any awareness of their kinship with the cosmic order that enfolds them. Throughout the years of schooling, they have been acclimatized to cease wondering at the world around them and within them. They have not been taught or encouraged to seek out what is. However, this activity of seeking to know is precisely where wonder resides and erupts in us. How does education stop wonder, and how can education open up wonder, and how do we seek to do that at Wyoming Catholic?
Yeah, I mean, there's a paradox here with wonder, right? Wonder is the emotion or the heartfelt response in your soul. It's not quite just an intellectual thing, an emotional thing. It's sort of it gets us at our core. When we don't understand something we've encountered, we wonder about it. And as Aristotle says, philosophy begins in wonder, philosophy ends in awe, and between those two states, you're searching for causes. And Aristotle, as we know, was a great scientist and a searcher for rational explanations. But even such a person as Aristotle, who was so enamored by the power of intellect, understood the limits of such inquiry. Plato, I think, even more understood this, that our concepts, our rational categories, and our techne, what we develop through these, technology and art, these can also serve as a kind of obstacle and can eclipse reality for us. We can begin to think that our constructed Apollonian illusions through our powerful intellects exhaust reality and are actually equal to reality. And then we begin to live in this human constructed reality, which takes us away from mystery and the ineffable aspects of things. There are inexhaustible depths that we can never plumb. So we create a world that mirrors ourselves and our puny desires. And this can lead to a complete ceasing of all wonder. Wonder becomes curiosity at best, or it becomes a springboard to a rational explanation, which ends all wonder. The inability to wonder is the inability to live as a human being. You know, we begin this life wondering, and we end it in wondering for all eternity at God, who will never, ever fully rationally explain. Yeah, you asked me, Jim, about Wyoming Catholic College and what we're doing in this area of wonder, and it really is all about what we're trying to do here. There's nothing more wonderful than getting out in the wild outdoors where it's not quite safe, although we have a lot of risk management and we take a lot of care in that area, but it is a wild place. And it's a place where students are getting a kind of unmediated encounter with existence. They're not simply learning ideas or reading books. They're out there immersed in natural wonders, and they're enduring, and they're suffering, and they're contemplating, and they're, you know, encountering wild Dionysian reality, and they're celebrating and dancing and singing songs and by the campfire. I mean, I think this is exactly what Steele had in mind. When they come back to the classroom, our conversations are Socratic. We're wondering and questioning and inquiring. We're not simply trying to find the right answer to everything. And teachers aren't there to simply pro-offer their more cultivated ideas to the students. We look at ourselves as fellow inquirers, guides to our apprentices, as it were. We're all wondering together at God's creation in all the classes. And our emphasis on poetry and literature, as well as systematic philosophy, theology, the fine arts, music. Our community is grounded in liturgy, beautiful liturgy that is another way to immerse oneself in supernatural existence. And so you put all this together, I think we've got the right blend of the Apollonian and the Dionysian here, if you want to put it that way. Can I just end with a quote by Steele?
Sure.
Steele says, The redemption brought about by a genuinely Dionysian education is achieved through illusion. And what he means by illusion here is artistic rendering or artistic cultural expression. The redemption brought about by a genuinely Dionysian education is achieved through illusion grounded in the experience of reality and reflected in a way that leads to eternal rejoicing in all of existence. And so, yes, our job here is to prepare students for an eternal rejoicing in existence, which begins in their moments at this college.
The universe is far more vast, unknowable, and frightening than most of us want to admit. And if that's the case, how much more is the eternal creator of all things vast, unknowable, and even frightening? Behold, wrote the prophet Isaiah, the nations are like a drop in the bucket and are counted as the dust on the scales. Behold, God takes up the islands like fine dust. Education, rightly understood, doesn't simply give us a set of tools for work in the global economy. Instead, education brings us face to face with the mysterium tremendum. It challenges rather than coddles, stretches rather than comforts, and for the Christian, instills a greater sense of awe and wonder, along with a greater desire to bow down and worship. If you have, or if you know, high school students who want that kind of challenge in their college years, why not put them in touch with the Wyoming Catholic College Admissions Department? For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.